Welcome to the teachings of Pastor Mike Yost of the Springs Calvary Chapel in Habern, Idaho. Please join us as we study the Word of God.
Well, I'm excited this morning to be opening up with you the book of Psalms. You can find it. It's right in the middle of your Bible. We're in Psalm 119. Frankie did a wonderful job last week sharing out of the Psalms. And one of the things I love about 117, 118, and 119, 117 is the shortest chapter in the whole Bible, two verses. 118 is the center chapter in the Bible. And I love it. At the center of the 29 verses of Psalm 118, we read this in verses 14 and 15 at the middle of the Bible, very middle of your Bible, according to the way we've got it laid out in English. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. That word for salvation, Yeshua. It's Jesus' name. He has become my Jesus. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I just love that. That's the heart of my Bible. And then we come into Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. It's 176 verses long. And by God's grace, we're going to cover the whole thing this morning. Now, you could look at that and say, good luck, Pastor. Or you could say, I'll pray for you, Pastor. I prefer your prayers. But in this, a couple things about that are just remarkable to me. Just something you should know about it as we've looked at Psalms in general. Theology set to song, right? Poetry set to music. These are meant to be sung. And in fact, as I was sharing with Frankie before he preached last week, at the very least, and yet I think it's almost the epitome of everything you could ever say about the Psalms, Jesus sang these songs. This is how he grew up. This is what he did with his time here on earth, ministering amongst us. He sang these psalms. And in fact, he's the author of these songs. So looking for Jesus in every page, in every psalm, wonderful thing to do. Psalm 119 especially is dedicated to the Word of God in its many different derivations or forms of Word, okay? The theme of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. And you can see it in all these different references. It's referred to as the Law of God in 25 of the verses, or Torah, the instructions of God. It's referred to literally as the Word of God. 20 times it's called the Word of God. Just like you might know in your Bible, we have the 10 words, aka referred to as the 10 commandments. Literally, they are the 10 words of God. Then we have also the sayings of God, often translated, if you say have a NIV or a different version of your English translation, 19 times the sayings or promises you might have on your lap of God's. The commandments of God's we see 20 times or 21 times here in Psalm 119. It's the authoritative Word of God. It's also the statutes or the decrees that have been inscribed. They're written down, decrees of God, the statutes or the judgments, and those are binding precedents. God has spoken. The supreme judge of the supreme court of the universe has given us his judgments 19 times in Psalm 119. The precepts of God, or the injunctions, the things that God would encourage us, therefore do this. These are precepts. They're actions we should respond to. Or 21 times. The testimony of God. Literally his ordinances are the things that he has declared as a testament or a witness to him. His testimonies 22 times. It's also referred to as the way of God. One of the words for the Word is the way of God, and we see that 11 times, as well as the path of God. They're synonymous 5 times for 16 times total, referring to the pattern of life and the way that a person ought to walk. Every verse of the 176 verses includes one of these forms of the Word of God, and except for two, okay, Psalm 84 and Psalm 132, I'll touch on them. They don't talk about the Word of God directly, but they do reference it indirectly. Now, one of the things that's fun with this is to memorize this. And you're like, oy vey, okay? I'm sure that's what every Hebrew child said. But you can be sure Jesus had it memorized. And in fact, in many denominations, 100 years ago, prior, you wouldn't be ordained as a minister if you had not memorized the Psalter. You should know the Psalms by heart. You should be able to get up and sing any one of the 150 before your congregation before you can even be ordained as a pastor. And I find it interesting. One of the things that makes it really fun and easy to remember if you're preparing for bar mitzvah, right, to become a son of the law, so to speak, is that this psalm is set up as an acrostic. Remember, we said that an acrostic is where it follows the letters, and the letters spell out something or reference something. In this case, it's all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, all 22 letters. And you'll notice that this psalm is divided into groups of eight stanzas, you might say. And every one of them, you can't see it in English, but in Hebrew, if you were reading, every one of the verses in a group of eight will start with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So in the first eight, it's the Hebrew alphabet letter Aleph. If you look in your Bible, it is part of the scripture as it was recorded originally, and you can see off to the very left margin the symbol that looks, that is the letter Aleph, and then it'll say the word Aleph. It'll go through eight verses. You get just above verse 9, and you see the second Hebrew letter, Beth. Okay, and you see the symbol for Beth, and it goes on down, Gimel, Daleth, Hey, Wah, and on through the alphabet. One of these things is kind of fun. It's a handy reference in your Bible if you ever want to find the Hebrew alphabet. There it is in Psalm 119, and you can reference it if you're trying to learn your Hebrew alphabet. But again, every child coming to the age of 12 when they are to be bar mitzvah, bar for son, bat mitzvah for daughter of the law, they would have this memorized. They would go and they would be able to recite and answer questions of the Torah. It's interesting to me that we read in Jesus, in his story, as growing up as a young man, we have very little information about him, but we do know this about him when he was 12 years old. And his family went to Jerusalem to attend the temple and the festivities for Passover. And as they left, they got a couple days out of town and realized, oops, Jesus isn't with us. They went back into town to look for him. And do you remember where they found him? In the temple, questioning the teachers. At 12 years old, Jesus was able to ask the questions. And that's the way they would teach. The teacher, the rabbi, or in this case, the priests, would ask the question, the students would answer. So on Jesus's, quote, bar mitzvah, he asked the questions. Kind of fun. So there's Jesus all over this. In fact, as we look at this, Jesus would say in John chapter 5, speaking to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures, seeking that you might find eternal life. But he goes on to say, but these, the scriptures, are they which speak of me. Your Bible is printed in black and white. And in some cases, you might have a red letter edition, which tells all the words that were actually recorded of Jesus. But just as they used to have that cute little riddle when I was a little boy, what is black and white and red all over? Yeah, it was. We were told it was a newspaper because it's red everywhere and it's printed in black and white. But truly, the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation are black and white, and they are read all over. These are they which speak of Jesus. In fact, I love it in John chapter 1. We get into just this introduction to the Word, okay? It says, and you were very familiar with this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, The Word is a person. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then jumping into verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So truly, when we get into the Word of God, and when you get into Psalm 119, we are looking into the heart and the very person and the very being of God in every single verse. And it's just something that is good for us to dwell on and meditate on. 176 verses, that's enough to take one verse a day and meditate on it every day of the year. When you get to the end, do it one more time and you'll have 352 verses. You could take one verse a day and pretty much spend your whole year just meditating on each verse. And truly, there are commentaries out there that are a volume unto themselves on Psalm 119. And just taking every single verse and expounding upon it. And with all that being said, I probably should start teaching this or we'll never get to any of that. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 1, Aleph, first letter. Everything's going to start with the letter equivalent to the Hebrew letter A, if you would. Blessed, oh happy, are the undefiled in the way who walk. So way, see that? That's a word for the Word of God. Who walk in the law, okay? Another word for the Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all Your commandments, I will praise You with uprightness of heart. When I learn Your righteous judgments, I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Wow. Pretty mind-boggling when you think what the Holy Spirit did to move upon a man to write these things. It doesn't say the author. Many believe it was actually Ezra, the high priest who returned from captivity in Babylon as they reestablished the second temple. That's basically tradition, but it's a strongly held tradition in the ancient literature. But to imagine trying to write, you know, eight different lines, they all start with A, they all go together, they all have the same meaning, the same theme. The theme here in these first eight verses, Aleph, you can make your own answers. I put a little theme above each of the grouping of eight, and this one I call the blessed or blessings of obedience in God's Word. Blessed. The blessings. Oh, how happy it is to walk in the way of the Word, to keep His statutes, to keep His judgments. And I'm going to run rather quickly through each of these. I'm going to kind of highlight the theme. I might bring out a verse or two, and we'll just keep on moving for sake of time. Like I said, you've got a year, maybe. Lord doesn't tarry. You might have it memorized before you get to heaven. Nevertheless, it's good food for our soul. Okay? Verse 8, I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Okay? What a wonderful beginning in this blessing of just staying in the will of God, in the heart of God. Moving to verse 9, Beth, the second Hebrew letter. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to Your word. With my whole heart I have sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart. I'm going to stop there for a moment. That's one of my highlights. I don't know if you got your Bible, if you mark in your Bible, if you underline or use a highlighter, but that's a verse for me because I need to know this. This is a big question I have. How can a young man cleanse his way? I know my way is defiled. I know my way is not God's way, and I need to be cleansed. How can I cleanse my way? By taking heed according to Your word. Okay, with my whole heart I have sought You. Let me not wander from Your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart. That we just would be washed, as Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26 says, being washed with the water of the word. You know, I think of this, and it's so easy while you're sitting here in church, at least in the first 5 minutes of my message, to be kind of in that holy mindset, frame set, godly, just rejoicing in the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. But before the message is even over, somewhere in the morning, my mind wanders, and all of a sudden I'm thinking stinking. I'm not even right, right? It's like, what happened to me? Here I'm at church. Oh, Lord. I had a non-godly thought. Let's put it that way. It doesn't have to be wicked, especially, but how do I get clean? Right? By His Word. Meditating on His Word. Putting His Word in our heart. You know, and I just love that. There's that cleansing, right? And I think of this, what's one of the best ways to keep yourself clean, undefiled, pure, holy before God? Read your Bible and pray every day, right? Right? If you don't, you'll find quickly your thinking gets stinking. Think of it like your body, right? How long does it take before you start getting a little ripe? How often do you bathe? Okay, don't answer out loud. The people sitting next to you probably already know. But as much as we would cleanse our physical body, we need to cleanse our mind and our heart in God's Word, that washing of the water of the Word. That's how we keep our ways clean. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much and in all the riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Okay, as much as there are so many references to the Word of God in their various forms, statutes, precepts, testimonies, way, and all these, there are also the ways that we handle the Word of the Lord. We meditate on the Word of the Lord. We delight in the Word of the Lord. We obey the Word of the Lord. We declare the Word of the Lord. And so that's a second kind of undertone to the concept of the Word of God, is our response to the Word of God. And so these are things that you can look throughout the scriptures. Gimel, okay, verse 17, the third Hebrew letter. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I can't stop. I have to stop. That's my highlight. You're going to have your own highlights. Your life is not my life. Your experiences, your situations in life, some of these verses might just touch you and go, wow. Wow, that just pierced my soul. Well, write it down or put a little star by it or something like that. God gave you that verse, and yours isn't going to be the same as mine, but this one here rocks my world. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Remember, law is the word Torah or instructions, okay? And as I open up God's instruction book, I'm just in awe. In wonder, right? It's wonderful. It leaves me wondering, wow, how magnificent, how glorious. Open my eyes. I want to see you clear. I want to see you better. I want to see you intimately. And the good news is we're going to have that. We're going to look into His eyes, and He's going to know us just as we are known. And this prayer will be answered. Verse 19 goes on, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Knowing our situation, we're King's kids. We're heaven bound, right? We're on to glory, and we're not from this earth. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims, right? We're sojourning on the way to that heavenly city. Verse 20, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. Amen. This is everything we need to live a good, wholesome life in God. Paul would instruct Timothy in 1 Timothy in chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. He would say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, I delight in your testimonies, and it is my counselor. And you should know this, and I've told this, and most of you know, if you come to me for a counselor, I haven't gone to college to become a counselor. I can tell you what I know of the Word of God. This is everything we need. The Scriptures, the Word of God, are complete for everything we need in life. And so if you come to me, and Pastor Mike, I got a situation in my life. What should I do? Or whatever. I'll say, well, the Word of God says, and it's up to you to do something with it, right? I'm not your boss. I'm just another pilgrim trying to find my way home, okay? I don't have all the answers, but I guess I could say I have all the answers. I have them right here, and I'll send you to the Word of God, and I believe that is healthy. And anytime you get in a situation where people start giving you worldly wisdom, right, and all these different programs, and it's funny, I was raised up in a world where I was exposed to a lot of positive thinking and a lot of self-help books. I've met many of these great heroes that would go around and do seminars. My dad took me to all this stuff growing up, but 90% of it, especially the good stuff, was really just a repackaged version of what's in the Bible. Only those people got, what do they call that when you write a book and you sell and you get a little bit of money out of it each time? What's that?
Royalty.
Royalty. They got royalties by repackaging and putting their name on it. Right? But it's always been the Word of God. It's always been there. And that is where we need to go for our counsel. Daleth, the fourth Hebrew letter, beginning at verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. In this one, I see praying for revival and understanding by God's word. This is where I come to be revived. And my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. And I just love that. We are all made in the image of Adam. We are made of dust, right? And yet God breathed in Adam's, and the word Adam literally means dust or dirt. They breathed in Adam's nostril, and he became a living being. And this is what brings life. This is what animates us. This is what quickens us. This is what makes our life true. The way we are created, or God created us. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove me from the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimony. Oh Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. I love this. Daleth, the fourth letter, these verses from 25 through 32, especially for some of you that maybe are coming new to the Lord. Maybe you've got some baggage you're trying to unload. Maybe you're a new creature in Christ, right? And you have renounced the things of shame. You've turned, you've repented, you've come to God, but you've got this life that you're trying to move away from into that new glory that God's given you. These are some wonderful verses, these eight verses here, 25 through 32. You could just read that and reread it every day. Right? And own it. And it'll just, it will bolster you as you go through the day. I know, you know, it's tough sometimes. And good news, bad news. Good news is God will deliver this to you. Bad news, if you want, he is delivering you, but he's not done yet. And this is going to be your circumstance until you enter glory in heaven. And so you've been a Christian for 6 days or 60 years, these truths still apply. We still need to apply these things to our heart. So I recommend learning this in the first 6 days and then applying it for the next 60 years. Hey, the fifth of the Hebrew letters, beginning at verse 33. I think this little couplets, or it's not a couplet because it's an octlet, or something. It's eight verses. Loyalty to God's word, I should say, and ending well. Right? That was the beginning in Daleth. Now in Hey, it's like, I want to finish the race. Okay? Finishing well. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. I just love this. You know, Solomon, remember when he was made king, and God asked him, what do you want? Pray to me, Solomon. And Solomon said a prayer, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he says, give me an understanding heart that I may shepherd your people well. And God was so blessed with that prayer. You ask for wisdom? You got it, boy. That's what I want, is a shepherd for my people. Not only will I give you wisdom, but I'll add all these things to you. But he did say to him, but just stay away from, and there were three things, stay away from multiplying horses, silver, and wives unto yourself. And there's eight chapters that we read in 1 Kings, starting with his prayer and this wonderful answer, give me understanding. And then in verse 8, or chapter 8, we get to the end where Solomon did multiply to himself wives, horses, and riches, and he turned his way heart away from God. His father David, who certainly stumbled along the way, radically, terribly, awfully stumbled, but he had a heart to turn back to God. And David finished well. His son Solomon started great. He did not finish well. And I just pray this, teach me, O Lord, teach me, right? I'm your student. You instruct me. You've been to school, right? You get the teacher, there's the blackboard, there's the instruction. They speak to you, they teach you, they have you read these things, you do your homework, you draw things out, you write essays, whatever it is. It's some kind of a thing that you, I want to experience this to the point that I own it. Now I could teach somebody else. I know it that well. Lord, teach me the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I incline my, or incline, this is God doing it, make me lean into you, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. How many, anybody here say amen? Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. And remember, it's all going to burn. All right? There's only two things that you and I are going to experience on earth that will be in heaven permanently. The scars that we put on Jesus and the people who we shared Jesus with and received him. Everything else, it's going away. It's all fundamentally, you know, worthless, okay, in comparison to humans, other people, and Jesus Christ. And revive me in your way. Verse 38, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Vav, the sixth letter, okay, walking and talking God's word, right? Let your walk match your talk. Verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Do you remember what we read in Psalm 118, verses 14 and 15? You have become my salvation, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Your salvation according to your word, so shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. The final answer to everything, Jesus. However people want to come at you and challenge you in the world today, and I should say, and you choose to engage them and share with them, possibly debate with them, let me tell you, if your debate doesn't end at Jesus, you missed the point. You lost the opportunity. Okay, that's the final word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings. I will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. To whom much is given, much is required. And happy to say, or sorry to say, y'all in this room have been given a lot. Almost everybody here has a Bible laying on their lap or in their app. You've got the whole Word of God. Most of all humanity who has ever breathed and walked on planet Earth has not owned a Bible and not had an app. And you've got all this, plus commentaries and just songs and worship and a church you can go and celebrate Jesus in. You've been given so much. but to whom much is given, much is required. I think of Rabbi Saul of Tarsus, raised up under Gamaliel, his chief student, who met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus converted him to who we know as the Apostle Paul, one of the most learned, brilliant intellects, no doubt, memorized the scriptures, because that's what people did. He knew them inside and out, and he knew all of that. And God says, you know, you're going to be a witness to me. You've got the word of God. I want you to go out and tell the whole world my testimonies, Gentiles, Jews, and kings. And sure enough, God did. And this is what God is asking of you and I, to just take that word of God and declare it wherever you might go. He'll guide your path. You open your mouth. Okay? I will speak of your testimony also before kings and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Zayin, letter number 7, verse 49. Hope hidden in the heart as the word is memorized. Okay, big passage on memorization right here. Remember the word to your servant upon which you caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. This is going to happen to us, church, in a very short season. We're about to finish the Bible. We're going to finish Psalms, and when we finish Psalms and we finish the Bible in about a month, we're going to start into the book of Genesis. And the world is going to mock us and just make fun at us that we believe in those ancient fables, they would like to call the book of Genesis. Okay, and it's right. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your instructions, from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have controlled and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken a hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. You might feel that way, indignant at these people who mock you, okay? You can be sure Jesus felt that way too, and yet he was without sin, okay? It might, the zeal of the Lord will consume us, and then we minister grace. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. So many people start into the Word of God as young Christians. And they're like, I could never learn all this. Well, you're going to have eternity to work on it, okay? And I just say, just get busy. You'll be amazed how much you could learn in such a short period of time if you'll just dig in and start reading. And sometimes I realize for a lot of people, and myself included, when I first started reading this, it was like reading a foreign language. It was just, I just didn't know it. Over time, it will wash over you. These poems don't rhyme, right? What's all this Jewish stuff that's in here? I'm not Jewish. Right, got it. But Hebrew poetry is pattern, okay? Biblical prophecy, the Word of God, is pattern. And as you read this and you start becoming familiar with more and more things, you start seeing the patterns filter in, and all of a sudden the light bulb goes on and you go, I see. I get it. I see what God's trying to say here. But you need to begin. Somehow you're going to have to take that first step. But you'll get to that point where this has become mine because I kept your precepts. Heth, the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. My personal subheading here is constant contentment in the Word of God. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I love that. You know, there was a tribe of Levi when they were coming into the promised land, and God gave each of the families or tribes of Israel different job duties. And of the tribe of Israel, they didn't get any portion of the land. They didn't get any special task except that they were just in charge of taking care of the temple and taking care of originally the tabernacle and carting it around with them and setting it up and tearing it down and moving it around. And finally, they came into a place where they built a temple with David and Solomon. But the Levites' job was just to take care of the things of the Lord. And the Lord said, I will be your portion. You're not going to have any of the material wealth of this world. You're not going to have any of the position or rank of this world. You're simply going to be my servant. But as my servant, I will be your portion. You get me. And that's just the sweetest thing in my heart. You know, those Levites are the priesthood. And in Peter, we read that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. God has made each and every one of us that priest to God, that Levite, and he's become our portion. And it's just a sweet, sweet thing, that constant contentment we have. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways, and I turn my feet to your testimonies. That's a good thing to pause and think, what am I doing? And turn to God. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Teth, the ninth Hebrew letter. My title for this is, God is good all the time. We can trust in God's word. Verse 65, you have dealt with your servant. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Woo! You are good and do good. God is good. All the time. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat grease. You can say that to sometimes somebody. It's like, oh, well, I don't know. That wouldn't be very good. Just sing it to them, and then they'll really be confused. No, but literally, that's insensitive. Their heart has no feeling. It's so fatty. It's so puffed up. They really have heart disease, right? Their heart is just dying. It's on death row. Their heart is as fat grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Hallelujah. How many of you guys love the affliction of God? Well, it just says right here. Maybe you should read verse 71 with me. Already? Okay, 1, 2, 3. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. This is how we learn. You don't learn anything by doing something really good. You go out and you do something really great, and it's just like you don't even know what you did. It just happened. But it's when you fail and you see the error of your ways and you go, oh, don't do it that way. You've heard the story of Thomas Edison, right? As he's in his laboratory in Menlo Park, and he's trying to create a filament for the incandescent bulb, and somebody came by, a reporter, and he says, you know, aren't you discouraged with all your failures? You know, you fail and fail and fail. And Thomas Edison's reply to that was, I have learned 1,000 ways not to make a filament, and he went on to make a light bulb. He learned from his afflictions. He learned from his failures. It's good for me, verse 71, that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than 1,000 coins of silver and gold. Yod, the 10th letter. And you might be familiar with this. Jesus, speaking on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 18, talking about how he is the fulfillment of the law, of the Word of God. He says in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 18, for assuredly, surely I will say to you, till heaven or earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. One jot and one tittle. Okay, this is that letter, Yod, and you can see the little picture of the letter. It's barely a little bit of a mark there. It kind of looks like a miniature backwards lowercase r, right? It's the smallest of the letters in Hebrew. And then you might know, if you look into some Hebrew writing, you'll see the letters, but you'll also see then little inscriptions that help give the pronunciation and inflection, kind of like apostrophes or commas. The littlest of those is known as the tittle. Okay? And what Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount, not one jot or tittle will fail until all of this word is fulfilled. So every little teeny mark in your Bible is going to come true. You can take it to the bank. It's a promise. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything there. Well, this is that letter, Yod. okay? And I've got for this particular eight verses, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay, it's kind of that's what this is about. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. For your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me. Those who know your testimonies, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Verse 79, that first part, let those who fear you turn to me. Wow. Those who respect God, those who reverence God, who are in awe of God, you can say, God, let them come to me. I can share with them. You know, we were at a men's retreat a couple weeks ago up in the mountains, and Pastor Jackie Roberts of Calvary Chapel Buell was sharing a little bit on the mediocrity in the church and how we have dumbed ourselves down so much that you get into a situation in church where you say, let's say the youth group, right? There's these young men and these young women, and most of them are clueless, right? And it's just because it's teenagers. We all know what that means. It's not that we want to know, but we just don't. We haven't had enough experience in life to cobble it all together, right? And I think I know, but I don't know. And then you get this student that comes in, and they are just prayer warriors. And every week they've got five different questions for you out of the Bible. I don't want to embarrass him, but Dakota Bergen is one of those guys. Every week he's got more questions. Why? Because he's reading the Bible and he's got questions. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, and Jackie Roberts was talking about this. We see this person, it doesn't have to be youth group, but they rise up and they're just zealous for God. They're diligent in prayer. They're fervent for the word. They're just out there evangelizing and sharing Jesus with everybody. And what do we say as a church? Wow, I think that guy should be a pastor. I can see a calling on his heart. Shouldn't that be all of us? And we've dumbed it down so much that one little guy steps up and says, I want to learn more. Oh, you'll be the pastor. How scary. And that's who our leaders become. Not that that's wrong, but it's like, I love what it says here. You know, let those who fear you come to me. I love that. At any rate, I'll finish off. Those who know you, your testimonies, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Kaf, the 11th letter, faith and patience in God's word is how I subscripted that, okay? My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word, okay? You know, there are times in your heart where you just can't see the answer, but God. But I have hope. But I have a promise. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? Has there anybody ever done this before? I mean, if you walk with the Lord very long, if you reverence the word of God at all, there's going to come a place where you are just so confused and distraught, and you're just in the word and in the word and in the word. Speak to me, God. Speak to me, God. Speak to me, God. When will you comfort me? Verse 83, for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? Oh, the Bible teaches us all who desire to live godly lives will experience persecution. Okay, this verse 84 is one of the two verses that does not directly reference the word of God. Okay, it says, how many are the days of your servant when you will execute judgment on those who persecute me? Judgment, one of the words for the word of God. This is more in the active tense or the active verse, and so it's not directly about that, but I love this, that it truly is that word that comes to life here. It's going to execute judgments on others. The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. I think that's one of the probably the most common prayer on planet Earth. prayed by Christians and atheists alike. I've learned it in so many different languages, because if you're, you know, stranded in Mexico or the Philippines or whatever, I want to cry out, "Ayúdame! Help me!" or whatever. Wherever you are, you want to be able to say, "Help me, Lord." I don't know how many times I prayed that prayer. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Lamed, the 12th letter. And for this one, I have change and the changelessness of the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's settled. It's done. The Word of God is not going to be updated. There's not going to be a 2.0 version. We might have different versions as our language changes. The English language is constantly in flux. And so what they read back in the time of King James and the Elizabethan English doesn't work so much for us anymore. That's okay to revise the wording of the Bible, but the actual text, the heart of it, the Word of God never changes. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances. Culture changes, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They continue to this day according to your ordinances for all your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimony. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad, or boundless. The words of God, the directions of God, the authority of God extends throughout all that we can possibly think or imagine. It's inerrant. It's infallible. 13th letter, Mem. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And I love this. In this one, these eight verses in Mem, I think of beyond Bible study, from head to heart to hand. It's not just knowing it, it's owning it, and it's doing it. Okay? Jesus says in John chapter 14, he's talking to the disciples in the upper room. He's saying, "I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit." And he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If we say we love the Lord, then we will obey the Lord. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. I love this. Again, I had said that there's a lot that think that Ezra may have written this. Whether he did or he didn't, it's applicable here. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, we read, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. It's more than just knowing the Word of God. It's more than getting a diploma on the wall. It's living it. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation, and I understand more than the ancients. That's a pretty proud and boastful thing, right? If you've been to college, let's say you've had your professors and those who taught you, and you say, "I know more than you." But the thing is, I know Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. He wrote the book. I know as much as anybody else on this planet, and you do as well. You just have to go to him, and he will help you to understand these things. Verse 100, I'll say, I understand more than the ancients because I kept your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's one of my highlights, just in case you have that in your Bible too. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Taste and see. The Lord, he is good. And how do you know if it's the Lord And you, people ask, you know, I'm praying and I hear voices in my head, and I'm not talking about like weird, but we all have self-talk and we don't know who it is. Is this God talking to me or whatever? Taste and see. Read, meditate, digest, hear God speak, hear God speak, hear God speak. And over time, you will train yourself to hear His words. You'll know when it's God's speaking. How do you identify like counterfeit money? Right? If you were a bank teller, and they got machines now, but they would just give you a whole bunch of good money. And you would just touch, feel, handle, count good, real, honest money a lot. And by tasting and seeing, by touching and feeling, by having the truth, by having that which is good and righteous, then when something not right comes along, clink, you instantly identify it. Even if you can't put your finger on it, there's something not right here. Right? Taste and see. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I can quickly discern that which isn't right, because I know that which is. Nun, the 14th letter, guided by God's word, or the light of God's word. Verse 105. This is a famous one. It's set to music, and a lot of us know this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I like that. And just one throwaway, because I know we're moving fast, but it says your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. You can see the next handful of steps. He's not going to give you the whole future. You read the Bible and you wonder, should I be an astronaut someday? I don't know. Have you finished high school? God's going to give you enough light to take the next couple steps. And as you walk forward and His light moves with you, you'll see the next couple steps and the next couple steps. God's word is a lamp unto my feet. Really, it's going to help you understand what should I do today? What do I need to do right now, right? And I find, and you probably found this as many times, there is, the Jews would say, the Jewish rabbis would say, coincidence is not a kosher word, okay? It's not coincidence, it's providence. God sees what you need and gives you the answer even before you ask it. And He just lights your path for you if you'll just carry the light of His word. 106, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart, and I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes to the very end. 15, Samech, safety in God's word. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe. I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you. I am afraid of your judgments. Ayin, the 16th letter, blessed assurance and vindication by God's word. Verse 121. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be a surety, be a guarantee for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Small sidestep. I can't remember how many years ago it was, but there were referendums going around every state of the United States about marriage. And what is marriage? A union of one man and one woman for life. And 3/4 of the United States of America, virtually every single state, voted to ratify that. And then just a few judges in a few select places overturned that for all the American people and ushered in same-sex marriage and all of that baloney. That's not the word of God, right? They regarded your law as void. Now we're dealing with sex and gender, and people can't tell the difference between a boy and girl. They've got gender dysphoria, and somehow for me to preach that from the pulpit is going to become hate speech someday. When God so loved you, he created you to be you. And you should just embrace that and live in it and rejoice in it. And I understand there's confusion in this world, but 90% of it does not come from really your own heart even. It's all these people telling you, you know, telling little children, 12 years old or even younger, be whatever you want to be. And then courts in our country allowing gender reclassification surgeries and therapies and things for little children. It's disgusting. It's absolutely wrong, okay? And race, right? And people are trying to figure out this whole race thing, right? And we have all, every human being created in the image of God, that we all deserve dignity. And the supreme judge of the universe has already ruled. It's been to the Supreme Court. It's been laid down. We've got the answer right here. Okay, verse 126, time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, and fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning these things, I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Okay, I don't hate the person that's been deceived. They've all been played by Satan. Every one of us. When somebody does something wicked, you can know this. That's not God causing them to do that. It's the devil. That's what the devil does. And you can have pity on that soul for getting played. But the sin, that's never to be tolerated. Sin needs to be cut out, okay? That will always corrupt. It will always degrade, and it will always lead to death, okay? I hate every false way. Pay, the 17th letter, the Word of God, and wonderfully, the Word of God. And they're almost like two opposite ends of the pole. Simple Word of God. And it's so simple. That's what we pray we do here at this church. We simply teach the Word simply. And the reason we do that is because you can do that. If I can stand up here and just read the Word of God and talk about it, you can take it home and start a Bible study with everybody. You don't have to be a PhD and have some kind of degree in theology. Open up the Word and read it, okay? And just share it with your friends, simply. But it's also wonderful. So don't be surprised when you start reading the Word of God and you're like, I don't understand it. This is too big for me. Well, I say hallelujah and duh, okay? What makes you think God should be so simple or so pint-sized that you can fit him in your pea brain? Me too. There's got to be a point when you start contemplating God, the things of God, the ways of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. You start thinking about God and your mind just vapor locks. Can't go that far, right? No eye has seen nor ear heard the amazing things that God has in store for us. So it's simple and it's wonderful. Verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. That verse is for me. It gives understanding to me. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Father God, we thank you so much today for this opportunity we have to celebrate your word made flesh, who's dwelt amongst us, revealed your truth to us, shown us the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Lord, that he would lay down his life for us, that on the cross of Calvary, he died in our place to pay the debt for our sin. By his stripes, we are healed. We're also mindful this Memorial Day weekend of all who have given and sacrificed that we might have liberty and justice. We pray, Lord, that we would be agents of that freedom and that truth in this community. You've given us the way, the path, your testimonies, your statutes, your precepts. Help us, Lord, now to just live them out to your glory and our joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today.
To learn more about the Springs Calvary Chapel, please visit our website at www.thespringscalvarychapel.org. Join us in person at the Springs in Heyburn, Idaho, or here on the podcast as we worship together in spirit and in truth.